Fotos.
How do you decide what to put where? Because, I mean, there are various examples of this where people are saying either open up or control more, in the case of the Queenstown Airport, in the zoning, and you're saying, oh no, that's a reserves management issue.
From my perspective, that's
specific activities that go on specific reserves need to be management plans are specific to those individual reserves and therefore a specific response. Whereas the district plan is more, you know, it's general, it's district wide, it's looking at those controls. But yeah, it is, reserve management plans are specific for individual reserves and therefore that's why we ask for specific feedback as to what residents and users of those reserves want for that actual piece of land.
And in your experience, that's more around the nature of the activities and how they fit together. That is how the sort of how you'd manage each particular piece of reserve land and in relation to other bits of reserve land. Versus the district plan, which is more setting consistent standards across all reserves of that same, all zones of that same nature.
Yes, yeah. So you might have a reserve in Queenstown and it is zoned the same, but the same reserve with reserve zoning in Wanaka might have a totally different group of users and community might have different desires for that piece of land than the same.
So I think Ms. Edgley said you've tried to make sure that the standards in the district plan don't cut across your ability to make those reserve-specific decisions about activities that might or might not be appropriate on each reserve.
Yes.
My final question on this topic. So the land, the skyline land to the west of the Luge, you've said, we can't look at zoning that as Bob's Peak area or subzoning that as Bob's Peak area at the moment because we haven't got a reserves management plan. We don't know what activities are going to go there. So is your rationale for that the same as you've just explained to me, that the activities need to be first looked at under the Reserves Act before the appropriate zoning is determined?
And so there is a reserve below Queenstown Hill. It is first place that we look is the reserve management plan to determine whether or not that activity is in accordance with the objectives and policies. Process, we would give them, or we would assess whether their activity
if you thought that it was a good idea, you wanted to agree to it as the landowner, but the reserve management plan didn't provide for it, then is the first step then a change to the management plan before consideration under the district plan?
Yes, so that there is guidance in the Reserves Act as to how we can deal with that. If within parks we determine that it's large, what the third party is proposing isn't contemplated in the reserve management plan, then a license as required, and that licence needs to be. There are a number of processes that need to be looked at.
In the Skyline case for that area to the west of the Luge, is it your evidence that those processes you've just, whatever they might end up being,
yes,
need to happen before any extension to the subzone up there occurs in the district plan?
A question that sort of arises out of Commissioner Dawson's questions. Which part of the council is going to administer Chapter 38? So it'll still be the
resource consent.
Right. Because it seemed to me that the responses we were getting from Ms. Galavanzi were that the Parks Department would be deciding on these matters. Do they automatically, I mean, I know they do under the Reserves Act have to, in terms of non-council activities, have to be involved where someone wants to use a reserve. But it also seemed to me from the responses that we were getting to those questions that somehow the council was not going to be put to the same level of tests as some other person might be wishing to do the same thing. Did I take that wrongly from the responses?
My understanding is that
if it's permitted activity, and for example, public amenities, which is undefined, but presumably includes buildings, is a permitted activity, if the council wants to do it, then it really doesn't need to apply, does it? No, wish to have public amenities on any of the reserves. It's permitted activity in all of the zones.
They would be able to do it as a permitted activity.
Yes.
It is also more namely.
Right, that's what I was inquiring. So it's more enabling for the parks to do activities on their own reserves than it would be for someone else, a club for instance, to put public amenities on a reserve, while it would be permitted, they'd still need to comply with the Reserves Act provisions.
The same process would apply. Council still
still trying, I mean, one of the reasons we're asking is we're still trying to understand why the council suggests it shouldn't be on private land, because it seems that the only difference is the Reserves Act provisions, which are separate and going to be administered separately from the Resource Management Act provisions. Is that correct? Go back a step from there. if it's equally enabling under the Resource Management Act, and there is I still have difficulty with the why it needs to only apply to council land. I mean, there is one example. Commissioner Nixon and I granted consent, must be 3 years ago now, or more, for a polo ground. Clearly a recreational activity. Now, what would be the difficulty with them having the active sports and recreation zone applied to their land and the controls and resource management terms for the buildings, etc., on that land? And it's probably one for Ms. Edgley to respond to.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Polo ground.
Polo?
Yes. Big paddock and horses run around and...
smacking a ball. Popular with the royals.
And your question was, what is the difference if that was...
What would be the resource management problem that would be created for the council if it was zoned, given there's a consent already in place, if it was zoned active recreation? Go to the activity list and look at what's permitted in the active sports and recreation zone. What problematic ones arise? Polo is an organised sport. fear that they would change to a different and maybe play rugby. I'm still struggling to understand if the polo ground changed to having rugby played on it, for example, which is active recreation, organised sport, what problems would manifest themselves that aren't covered by the standards applying to the zone? So that means it's helpful because for another consent I did was the Arrowtown recreation ground. So what you're saying is that the Reserves Act provisions are used to control some of the off-site effects, but that aren't covered by the zone. Is that, and ours being one, because you have the effect of night lights, etc. And is that what you're suggesting? Yes, that's true, but so can a discretionary activity consent or a restricted discretionary activity consent. They can be site-specific. But the council has chosen in the active recreation zone to make a number of matters permitted, and they haven't included standards on some of the effects, or at least one of the effects that you consider should be dealt with, which is the hours of operation. Are there others that be a possible offsite? Is parking adequately covered?
My understanding that
in respect of extra
I'm still thinking about the polo ground.
Right.
Because it's a private piece of land, active recreation, and I'm wondering if there's anything else other than the hours of operation that could be problematic. This raises the obvious question with Bridesdale. Venus is active recreation. It's, you know, people go and hit a ball back and forward. What, without dealing with specifics of that particular activity, that particular proposal, which has some other issues with it, but in the general sense, other than hours of operation, what other matters would be relevant? And we'll say that natural hazards is a relevant matter, but that's generally a relevant matter for all activities anyway in this district.
Strangely enough, I can test that as well for me. One of the arguments that was used, I think it was by yourself, Jenny, was that it was adjacent to Lake Wanaga, so therefore it was more appropriate that it wasn't active sport and recreation, it was informal. Just testing that a wee bit, this is in relation to Roy's Bay. So if you, I mean, you know, fully aware of the reserve management plan, the development plan, wouldn't there be different, almost an argument for different zones within Roy's Bay. So your anticipation for the Roy's Bay would be one zone? View it from, say, Stony Creek to Ely Point?
I do believe...
I haven't checked the map myself. But the... That would be, there's certain areas that have been identified, for example, by John Darby and the Grebes. Very specifically, you'd call it a nature conservation zone. Sorry, crack up.
The boundaries, the property boundaries along the edge, not zoned because it's actually lake bed. As while it is managed as preserve and managed as land,
well, surface of water, which is zoned rural. You had a question on that too.
Yes, just following up from that and from having the benefit of the site visit out there, and I've also been there in the summer months and seen what the area is like. It did on the face of it seem incongruous that this particular part of the foreshore, which in the summer months has extremely intensive use, not simply by people but by large movements of boats and large vehicles, is not what one would expect in a informal recreation environment. And it appears inevitable that the level of activity there will grow up rather than down in the future. It's going to become even more intensive. Is there any other area in the plan zoned informal recreation that has that level of intensity of use that you're aware of?
Do those areas have boat storage on them in the same way that the Wanaka one does?
would there be, looking at what the council might be concerned about, is that given there's a relatively small building there associated with the boathouse, which I would imagine is almost inevitably going to be replaced, is it the concern of the council that a large building will be constructed that is inappropriate in that area, or a larger building is inappropriate? Is that because you think it'll be 2 metres too high or too large? Or, I mean, I'm trying to understand what the concern is about that.
So the building that is there, yep, it has a lease to council.
That as zoned, it's informal recreation, and the club rooms would be a discretionary activity, and as sought, would club rooms would be a permitted activity with standards allowing a larger building. And the council has full control as lessor, as you've just explained, and the change of lease would involve public involvement. What harm would be done by zoning it active recreation? Well, this doesn't seem to me that the district plan suggests that active recreation zone has to be applied to land with a large variety of activities on it. It did zone, for example, the cricket ground at Millbrook, which has very little on it and only one activity. The yacht club is an active a form of active recreation. I still can't see why one and not the other.
Yes, I think that's what was that's why I made use the word incongruous, because having visited both of those sites, there's like chalk and cheese, the one at Wanaka. I've seen it's just a hive of throbbing activity in the middle of the summer.
Say that every Thursday night there's a sailing event with an organised race, and every Saturday there's an organised event with instruction for the kids on the foreshore, and that's sort of weekly, which almost twice a week, which is almost what you'd expect from a rugby club. But they couldn't take place without being facilitated by using the zoned land.
more a form of an act of recreation, isn't it? And the rules are more akin to the act of recreation.
Just to, not to labour the point, but would you see...
We may as well.
Would you see... I've just brought up the maps and I was looking at the definition of informal recreation which runs around the whole of Roy Bay. Would you see... And one part of it is the civic space, which is directly in front of Wanaka Township, and that's a different zone. Would you see a concern with breaking that informal recreation space into different zones in different areas? Is there would you see an issue? For example, have you got the map in front of you? So for example, if you looked at the civic space, which is pink, and then moved northeast to John Darby's nature conservation site, grebe spots, the Wanaka Marina is obviously in there, but we won't talk about that, and then moving further around to the actual marina, and there seems to be a line at the bottom of Beacon Point Road in that, and that's just a little blue line that happens to be there, but he said let's use that spot as active recreation and then carried on with informal. Is there a specific issue with doing that? I'm not suggesting that obviously that's what the panel would come up with, but I was just wondering if there's a drive to paint everything brown, or if we're there's an ability.
Can I just...
Please do.
Section 6 is one of the areas I'm always interested in, of course. And Section 6A seems to me applies probably more than Section 6B. It's adjoining the lakeshore. Protection of the natural character of the lake from inappropriate activities. Now, wouldn't it be fair to say that a yacht club is almost certainly going to be located adjoining a lake or on the coast, so that they fall into that appropriate activity, don't they? Well, the activity is, so the question is, are the standards the issue for the active recreation zone that they don't contemplate that location rather than the activity itself? But elsewhere in the zone itself, the provisions provide for quite large buildings in the outstanding natural landscape in the Bob's Peak subzone as a reflection of the reality that they're there, and also provides for more development, doesn't it? It may be, but I'm just trying to ensure that there's no internal inconsistency within the zone itself.
Within
Chapter 38. That you're saying here, because it's on the lake margin and the lake is an ONF, I'm not sure that you could say that the land that it's on is an ONF, but we don't have landscape evidence on that. And for that reason, you're concerned that the standards of providing for a building of 600 square metres up to 10 metres high as a permitted activity is inappropriate. That's what I took from your answer. But yet, in the ONL on Bob's Peak, we can have several thousand square metres of building. That'd be at least 10 metres, if not more. So if you can justify that exception, what is there to stop justification of the exception for the Wanaka Yacht Club? Smaller. Well, put it this way, Ms. Edgley, it might be helpful if you were to think about whether, if the only issue is the standard and the scale of buildings that are permitted and whether there is something between the standards for the informal recreation buildings and the active recreation that would be appropriate. There's nothing you've said has suggested that it needs to be as small as the informal recreation standards, or do you think it should be that small? Because that's probably smaller than the existing club rooms, I would have thought.
Just to get a final definitive on the zoning versus a continuous zone, would you have concerns about breaking that zone into smaller parcels that would be have a different zoning? If it was appropriate.
Is that 18.5 metres? Or 17.5? A similar height matter with the zip line structures. Mm-hmm. They've asked for when we had a look at them, I mean clearly they're up in a tree, so they start well above the ground often, or they might have a ladder or structures going up to them. You've said, oh no, we don't want anything 20 metres high in those locations. I mean, there are other controls over buildings. Is an activity. I mean, depending on where they are, whether they're in the corridor or area, they're non-complying, but they might be just outside and have been the rest of the Ben Lomond subzone. Are you being a bit unrealistic about the level of control over those structures? I mean, because they only want it specifically for their sort of structure, not for any other structure. metre height and then they're applying for a restricted discretionary for the structure anyway, you'd be hard pressed to say no, a 20 metre height's not appropriate in that particular location. Of the height being considered through the restricted discretion. So, we'll put it the other way. By having two applications, like one for height and one for the structure, you can look at all matters.
Yes.
Whereas if the height was 20 metres and they were only making a restricted discretionary application for the structure,
mm-hmm.
then it might be difficult to look at the effects of the height. If the plan said they could go to 20 metres.
Yes, my primary concern is being able to draft a
volume, if you like, of structure, which would be appropriate, whether it was on the ground or 5 metres in the air. I mean, it was 3 by 3 by 3. Making simple numbers, a cube of 3 metres in each direction, whether it's sitting on the ground or is it 5 metres in the air. Would that be acceptable? Or is that too difficult to administer? Tell you what, you can have time to think about over lunch because we've got to 1 o'clock. Because I know it's a difficult question to conceptualise, think about. I'm just trying to think of the sort of things we might get from ZipTrek when they're presenting theirs, and I'd like you to have the chance to think about, and maybe giving you the chance to do that over lunch might be sensible. So we'll adjourn and